How did the Hobbit economy actually work? Was it all just agriculture? Was there much of an economic system at all? Or was the Shire just some idealized rural community where everyone helped everyone else? Hi everyone, this is Robert. Welcome to In Deep Geek. On this channel, we dive in nerdy detail into The Lord of the Rings, A Song of Ice and Fire, The Witcher, and more. Welcome. Critics of J.R.R. Tolkien sometimes point the finger at his lack of developed government or economic systems in Middle-earth. I've always found that quite unfair, not just because he goes into such granular detail in other areas of world-building, language invention, for example, but because the evidence for how Middle-earth operated at an economic and political level is there in his writings if you dig deep enough. This is part of an ad hoc series of videos looking at economics and politics in fantasy worlds, so keep an eye out for some more over the coming weeks. As a useful starting point for us, the prologue to The Lord of the Rings contains a mini-essay on the workings of the Shire, as well as others on hobbits more generally and even on pipeweed. As you would expect, the hobbit economy is mostly rural and agricultural. Tolkien talked extensively about how it was inspired by his own childhood in the then very rural area around Sarehole Mill in England. There are farms and fields and orchards, and at the heart of Hobbiton itself was the watermill. As Tolkien pithily put it, growing food and eating it occupied most of their time. And the variety of foodstuffs available in and presumably produced in the Shire is immense. We read about apples and honey and corn and blackberries and mince pies and pork pies and tarts and jams and wine and beer and mushrooms and potatoes, of course. The description of the contents of Bilbo's larder alone is mouth-watering. We shouldn't be surprised by this. Hobbits love food, after all, so of course there will be lots of different foodstuffs produced. But it also implies that there must be some kind of economic infrastructure around all this. Some food, like blackberries or mushrooms, say, can be foraged, but the existence of pork pies implies pig farmers, an abattoir of some kind, a butcher, a baker, and so on. The pastry alone will presumably need flour from a mill, salt from a mine or extracted from salt water, maybe some eggs and some lard from, well, you get the point. The required infrastructure here is actually quite complex. It's not just hand-to-mouth self-sufficiency. A lot of people are involved in just that one pork pie, particularly when you add in the transportation and distribution networks needed to bring all of the materials into the right place to make the pork pie and then get it to the people who want to eat it. And it's obviously not just pork pies. The existence of bottles of wine implies not just vineyards, but wine presses, glass blowers and bottle makers, cork manufacturers and so on. The more you think about it, the more it's obvious that the Shire clearly had quite a complex system of food production and distribution. It's just that it wasn't particularly industrialised. Everything was still done in a very simple way. Tolkien goes on to say that the hobbits love peace and quiet and good-tilled earth. A well-ordered and well-farmed countryside was their favourite haunt. They do not and did not understand or like machines more complicated than a forge bellows, a watermill, or a handloom, though they were skillful with tools. So the Shire was definitely pre-industrial revolution, until Sharkey and Co. took over, of course. But there were trades practiced. Not everyone was involved in agriculture and farming. We hear of workshops and small trades passed down from generation to generation, clothes and buttons and tables and chairs and so on. The Shire was quite industrious in its own slow and gentle way. But none of this was done at scale, just skills passed down from generation to generation. At which point we should probably point out the very clear ingrained class structure in the Shire. Sam had a job, we all know, gardener, but Bilbo and Frodo and Merry and Pippin as well, for that matter, didn't. They were part of the aristocracy. Sam was Frodo's friend, but very clearly also his servant. The interesting thing, though, economically speaking, is that the upper classes didn't seem to rely very much on an income. Bilbo had money from his adventure, of course, and his father seems to have married into money, but he survived perfectly well before he got some of Smaug's gold, and Frodo seemed to survive very happily without any particular source of income or employment at all. Money did exist in the Shire, we know that, but it wasn't a particularly money-centric culture. Tolkien notes hobbits' generosity. Sharing your home and hearth when people popped round for meals seemed commonplace, and the giving of lavish gifts, particularly at birthday parties, was very much the thing to do. On your birthday, you are the one giving the presents, so getting older actually was quite expensive. So most hobbits seemed not to care too much about money, and social mobility and capitalistic aspiration seemed quite rare. Not because having more money or possessions were seen as bad things, it was actually very respectable to be well off, but because most people were just content with their lot in life. And going on adventures or innovations or even talking to people from outside the Shire were frowned upon. In other words, it was a very static, insular culture. Returning to the economy, the frowning upon travel or talking to people from outside the Shire put quite a limit on trade, as you might expect. Dwarves and elves did travel through the Shire, but didn't stop. Bree, just outside the Shire, was another matter entirely, being built on the intersection of the two great roads of Middle-earth, the East-West Road and the North-South Road, which once connected the two kingdoms of Arnor and Gondor. The prancing pony may come across as a bit of a backwater pub, but by Middle-earth standards, it was actually pretty cosmopolitan. Humans, hobbits, dwarves, wizards, northmen, strangers from the south, they all mixed there. And in small ways, they traded there too. And there were hobbits who lived in Bree, and sometimes even adventurous hobbits from the Shire ventured out that far, but there was no thriving trade route. Which is why, when Saruman suddenly set up a trading business, buying pipeweed from Lotho Sackville Baggins, he could do it so easily and gain such control there was no competition at all. Saruman could infiltrate and take over the hobbit economy in a matter of months, because there wasn't really much of an economy to speak of. And there was no real government to speak of either. There was a mayor, though his role was mostly to do with presiding over feast days, and only two public bodies of any note are ever really mentioned. The messenger service, the postal system, and the sheriffs, a sort of police force, though normally more concerned with finding stray animals. All other public service seems to have been done on a voluntary basis, the rule of law being generally respected and families largely managing their own affairs. Put in today's language, the Shire was a small government economy, with very few public sector involvements or employments, but very high levels of community engagement. So, overall, how could we describe the hobbit economy? Well, communitarian, unindustrialised, very focused on food production and consumption, insular, with little or no trading with other communities, small government, and with a class and employment system that hardly ever shifted. If your parents did a particular trade, then you almost certainly would do the same. Ted Sandyman's father was a miller, and so he was too. Sam's father was a gardener, so that's what he grew up to be. This wasn't insurmountable, of course. Sam went from a humble gardener to mayor, though he kept on gardening. But the most important thing is that almost everyone is happy with the system as it is. Yes, there are social inequalities, and the lack of trade means missing out on luxuries from elsewhere, but most people seem very content. Gaffer Gamgee enjoys being a gardener, and Farmer Maggot enjoys being a farmer. This is a rural idyll, and populated by hobbits, Tolkien's distilled version of many of the good things about being alive. It's supposed to be better than real life. And it reflects Tolkien's idea that the most important and rewarding things in life really are the simple things. Is the hobbit economy realistic? Perhaps not fully in our world, but perhaps it is something to aspire to. An economy built on generosity rather than greed, and the desire for a full stomach after a hearty second breakfast. It sounds lovely. If you'd like to see more Lord of the Rings videos, please click on the link to my playlist on the left of your screen. Or if you'd like to support this channel, thank you. Please click on the link on the right of your screen. That's all for this time. Thanks for watching. I'll see you again soon.